What's up? You're tuned into the Sisters in Therapy podcast. I'm Dr. Mercedes, also known as Dr. Mo, licensed marriage and family therapy supervisor.
I'm Dr. Brittany Harrell, also known as Dr. B, a licensed professional counselor.
I am Dr. Takesha Hawkins, also known as Dr. TK, licensed marriage and family therapist supervisor.
So we created this space to push the mental health conversation forward, diving deep into humans and their behavior.
But most importantly, we're here to inspire you to love on yourself and others.
This is a super dope podcast where you get dope content and no copay. This podcast is also not meant to be a substitute relationship with a mental health professional. So now, let's get into the session.
What's up? You're tuned in to the Sisters in Therapy podcast. I'm Dr. Mercedes Moore, licensed marriage and family therapist supervisor, and I am here with Dr. B, licensed professional counselor, and Dr. T, licensed marriage and family therapy supervisor. We are Sisters in Therapy, yeah. And this is our podcast.
Yeah.
What's up, y'all?
Girl, we've been gone for a minute.
Let's tell the people why we've been gone. Who want to start?
Whew. Let me see.
Where to start?
Okay. We were in the pandemic.
Yes, that's one.
That was a thing.
It's a lot of racial distress.
Yeah.
That's two. And then just working on our own, like, milestones, such as, like, working on our doctorate degrees and starting businesses.
Yes. Come on, businesses.
Businesses.
I mean, honestly, we all been kind of been doing the same thing, literally. We took a break at the same time.
We're a trio.
Yes, we took a break at the same time. We got our doctorate at the same time. That's why we are able to introduce ourselves as doctors.
It's new. I don't know if y'all noticed. It's
very new. Oh, but we're so excited to be back with you guys. This has been something we've been wanting to get back to, but now we got the space to do it.
Yes, and so some of you have been actually asking me, when is the podcast coming back? Here we are. We're back. Mm-hmm. And also, just speaking on the topics of mental health, this first session is going to be breaking down mental health in the different kind of ways it shows up in our daily life and just addressing some of the stigma and anything related to mental health, for sure. Mm-hmm. So mental health is obviously trending on social media. Mm-hmm. I actually dislike that we live in a world where mental health is such a taboo topic.
Do you think it's still taboo, though?
Taboo, it's been exploited right now.
I was about to say taboo and still trendy. Like
trendy.
So like the real stuff, the hard stuff, the...
It's still taboo. Taboo to the fact that stigma is still a barrier to us actually getting to the root of us addressing our mental health.
Absolutely.
And how we're seeing that showing up is so many people talking about mental health. Mm. But yet and still, they don't go see therapists. They'll go see a coach or...
The gym.
A gym or a spiritual advice. Which is, all of those are fine.
But...
And also, therapy is a thing.
It is.
Okay. So, but people didn't just, like, wake up and decide that, like, oh, I'm going to neglect my mental health. And then I'm going to figure out how to do it on my own. I think as a society, we have collectively... neglected our mental health, we didn't want to do that, but it hasn't been the normal thing in society to talk about mental health at all.
Of course not.
Yeah, because a big part of, that's what survival mode is, right? Like, people don't feel like they have the time to take care of themselves.
Well, that's capitalism.
Well.
But even when we go back to school, it all started with what do you want to be when you grow up? How can you be productive? What are you doing with your life? What sport are you, it's all about what you're producing, not how you feel, how you tend to how you feel in those moments. Like, that is not what is taught.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm. So with mental health trending on social media and with everybody talking about it and calling themselves experts, there is a lot of misinformation.
Yes.
So, which continues to perpetuate stigma and myths in regards to mental health. So how do we as licensed professionals want the people to understand and define mental health? How do you define mental health? So, you know, the textbook definition, psychological and emotional well-being. That's generally what mental health is. But, like, what is that?
Yeah. Go ahead, T.
I was about to say, just think about a daily example of, which maybe this is or isn't common, taking the time to actually sit and think about how you are thinking about something, how you are feeling about something. That is your mental health. Mm-hmm. So if I'm mindfully doing anything, whether I'm cooking, whether I'm at the gym, whether I'm thinking about something that's stressing me out, all of those things contribute
to my mental health.
That's literally where the state of my mental health is at.
Right. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I hear you, but I think people will say, okay, but what is that? And I'm only saying that because I've had conversations with different people. They're like, but it doesn't make sense to me. And so,
okay.
To what you,
I was going to say, I think to simplify it or break it down even more is just the term health, right? Like,
okay,
just the action of taking care of something.
Okay.
Right? And so the same thing with your physical health, right? Like, if the hope is that people do go see a doctor, you know, if they have the access to do that, whether it be either you go see a doctor or you eat certain foods that nurtures your body, that way it can operate functionally.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of breaking it down like these are the words, but health, I think people can identify or relate to health. Nobody really questions like the idea or the reality of health. It's the mental part that they don't understand.
But
I think
they actually keep in mental and changing health. Think about it. Mental toughness, mental wealth. That is all stigma. People are actually removing the word health from mental health is what I've kind of seen trending on social media. But essentially, like I said, 5 out of 5 of us have mental health. Mm. All of us. Come mental on, health.
Statistics.
And also, it's just really how are you doing? How are you? And I want the long answer. How are you? So one reason why I think it's such a taboo topic is because people don't know how they're doing.
Well,
that brings me back to that. Like I said, I don't know if people actually are checking in with
self.
How you feeling at any given time. But it's so maybe that is why it sounds so unnatural to even think about it in that way. But
for sure,
we supposed to be pausing.
And you know why?
To see how you feel about
yourself?
Anything at any everything.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But they require you being in touch with your emotions. And there is a climate of toxic positivity on social media.
Yeah.
Which then contributes to stigma. So if we could define stigma, how would you define stigma to people?
These terms always seem so easy to explain.
I know.
I'm gonna need a second on that one.
Okay.
What would
stigma. So stigma is basically creating shame around getting mental health. Stigma is calling people crazy. Mm-hmm. Stigma is you should just pray about it. That's stigma. Mm-hmm. So that is like saying, okay, you don't really need mental health care. You just need to go pray about it. Yeah. That's stigma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we say that stigma is also like not ignorance in a bad way, but just the idea or the reality of not knowing, but still forming an opinion about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not for me because
it's for white people.
I That's think it's stigma. any negative meaning making that you're putting on it.
Yes.
Because we put meanings on everything. Mm-hmm. But actually having a mental health or tending to your mental health doesn't have to mean anything. So any reason you have to not tend to your mental health can be stigma.
That too. And also stigma is believing that, you know, there is nothing really wrong with you. Stigma is actually not believing that mental health actually exists.
Or that is a bad thing.
Or is it a bad thing when somebody says, I am not okay? Yeah. We can all probably agree that culturally, we are strong people. That's our default. Being resilient is our default. So anytime anything resembles something other than resiliency, I think that we have a hard time holding space for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree, for ourselves and for others. Mm-hmm. So we're not creating the space for one another to have those feelings.
Right.
Because if I'm stressed and I'm tired and I still make myself push through it, and you come to me and you tell me that you're tired, I'm going to be like, girl, get over it. Do what you got to do.
Why? That's stigma.
Because I got to get over it.
Right.
Why can't you?
Right.
I don't get to rest.
Yeah. I think people also have perfected the art of avoidance, I think.
Call it mental toughness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're not honest about like their day to day feels like a pressure cooker, right? Like it's always something simmering, but it looks, what I think people aren't often honest about is like, yeah, you getting through the day, but like your frustration looks different in different settings, right? Whether it's you're short with your partner or, I don't know, just other examples of neglect, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. That makes so much sense because everything is mental health. And so how I would really define mental health is like it is your foundation for how you move through your day. It is how you make decisions. It is all that. But also your thoughts and your mood, they're kind of, you know, they correspond with each other. Mm-hmm. And also they can kind of also like predict your behavior. So I think that the behavior tend to come first for people. They do something.
Okay.
Because they're not in touch with their thoughts and their mood.
Okay.
So it's like working backwards because we be trying to teach, we're trying to teach people.
That's fine.
We're trying to teach people to, one, take inventory of your feelings. Yeah. How do you feel?
I like that word, inventory.
How do you feel?
You know, and I just seen something about this and they had a really good point. Like you said, the behavior comes first. It doesn't actually come first.
It doesn't come first.
You think it comes first, yes. Or that's what you notice first.
Exactly.
What actually comes first is probably a thought or a feeling, mm-hmm. but because sure. you don't acknowledge it,
yep. yeah. mm-hmm.
you're just talking about the behavior. But then if the behavior is coming out as mad, you're going to try to tend to the mad.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to try to stop the mad right. versus saying what's the actual feeling or what actually happened mm-hmm. and tending to the thing that needs to be tended to. You right. didn't even fix the problem. Like, right. it's going to come up again.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah. And I think, too, what I try to encourage with my clients is that emotions are emotions, right? Like, ooh, don't feel bad about feeling sad or mad. Like, it could be a valid emotion.
It is a valid emotion, but also there is miseducation about emotions. Yeah. Mental health and emotions are really the same thing. Emotional health and mm-hmm. mental health are the same mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, they're interchangeable, yeah.
But listen, people say you're too emotional. It is literally the most foolish thing I ever heard because emotions is a category.
We're human. We're not robots.
But also, but they're not. They're equating emotions to sadness.
Yeah, yeah.
And depression. They're not. Joy is also an emotion.
Absolutely.
Happiness is an emotion. But when people say, oh, you're too emotional, I always be like, which one?
Right.
That means that we are miseducated about emotions mm-hmm. 100% in this society. Mm-hmm. Every yeah. meme on social media, every little quote, don't let your emotions dictate this.
What?
Your emotions literally dictate everything.
Literally every single thing.
They are a guide for a reason. Mm-hmm. These things will guide you to places.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They're tools.
Tools.
Absolutely.
Meant to teach you what you need more of, what you need less of, what mm-hmm. you need to protect yourself from, what you need to go after more.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Brittany, like you don't have to have shame about they're not there to make you feel shame. They're there to help you survive.
Yeah.
Shame is heavy.
It is. And it starts in childhood, right? Like,
of course.
It's if you were encouraged to go sit in a corner and be quiet after you were just kind of chastised, like, you kind of learn it pretty early.
mm-hmm. What you say that day, like if you get a whooping as a child and they say, be quiet if I give you something to cry for.
I'm hurting.
You just gave me something to cry for.
You already did that.
You already did. And that's a part of like in amongst Black people, how we almost, that's where we learn to not feel our feelings. Mm-hmm. That's a part of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And not being able to check in. Let me rephrase. It's important to learn how to check in with yourself because you get to cultivate healthier relationships as a result of you knowing yourself.
Facts.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Hold on.
Okay.
Can I come back to what we were talking about, like maybe getting a whooping as a child, which means okay. we weren't able to kind of express ourselves and say how this made me feel and vice versa. So that brings me to the topic of breaking quote unquote generational curses or yeah. habits as it relates to mental health.
Okay.
How do we, because when we talk about generational like wealth, people always think of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering like, what would be the practice of maybe generational well-being, love, passing
that
down.
You beat me
down.
To it.
Come on.
You beat me to it.
Passing down these well-being. Type of habits and these yeah. type of patterns, because this is truly how we get ahead as a race.
Yeah.
I think
people have to decide that it doesn't work anymore.
Yes.
I think that's mm-hmm. what it is.
Being a slave to traditions, it does not work anymore.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I think
because we're quick to say
back
well, it's
in
always
my day,
been this way, or I got whooped and I was just fine. You're not.
You're not
fine,
babes.
At all.
Not fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people have to acknowledge. Y'all know I say the word autonomy all the time.
For sure.
I think we underestimate the value of, I won't say independence, but I guess in a way it does apply. Like, you don't have to do what you thought you were supposed to do.
Facts.
You can live your life differently, but it breaks my heart so often when people don't know they have choices.
Mm-hmm. But people don't know they have choices because I truly believe that people think that anything healthy is not attainable.
Yeah.
Because when we have been used to chaos and dysfunction for so long, I think peace and stability just comes off as mm-hmm. and it comes off as boring too.
Yeah,
it definitely comes off as boring. But also even with that, like you said, since we don't always see it, there's also just a lack of imagination.
For sure.
Yeah. We don't dream. We don't envision. We don't.
We don't dream and we don't
see envision. Mm-hmm. What other possibilities are out there.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually ask my clients, like, you felt like you had to do that? Like, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything you don't want to. You don't have to sustain what is familiar to you. You don't have to. Like, even just saying, I don't have to. I don't want to.
Or just saying your favorite thing.
What?
No. It's a complete sentence.
It's a complete sentence.
I was gonna say, you would be surprised how many people I've seen, we have conversations in the therapy room, and I'm like, okay, what stopped you from walking away from the situation that was so uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. They were like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. I could have just left the person in that space. Absolutely.
It's not easy.
Don't you say they said it did not even occur to them. It was not even a thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When they are grown as fuck, they have a car, they got their on their own, my bad.
We can. Okay. This is adult content, guys. We can. But I'm like, we'll put explicit on a disclaimer.
Lord.
Baby, you blessed with an able body, baby. You got a car.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to leave.
Get out.
Yeah. And listener, how we're explaining how we talk to our clients. These are clients that we have rapport with. So, like, our tone could be a bit different when it's like, all right, now, come on. We've talked about this.
We talked about this.
So, kind of on the topic of, what was that? Generational
habits and curses. I don't like saying generational curses, but that is a thing that people, those are words people use.
I'm forgetting my thought.
How do we, well, how have maybe you guys, or how have you helped people normalize being well?
I love that question. Mm. Let's see. So there are a few things that I like to do.
Okay.
One, especially if I notice, I think a part of how I try to encourage people to take care of themselves is, number one, building rapport, right? That way I get a picture of what you've been doing thus far before coming to see me, right?
Okay.
If I notice this person loves plants.
Okay.
Right? I'll ask, have you named any of your plants? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, right?
Okay.
Whether they're a plant lover or not, either way, I'll encourage it. So then I'll say, well, if you haven't named this plant, maybe name this particular plant after you.
Okay.
You water it, you pour into it, you talk to it.
Okay.
Maybe practicing it externally will encourage you to feel it more internally, if that makes sense, right? So, like, if this was Mercedes, mm-hmm. right? You would take care of that plant. You would nurture that plant. You would talk to that plant. That way it becomes more mm-hmm. default to be gentle and loving to yourself, if I'm answering your question.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
That's a great analogy. Plants, gardening, all those things mm-hmm. do grow when you nurture them.
Mm-hmm. Small joys is another one.
For sure.
Discovery. Even something as simple as...
And exploring new things.
Yeah. Exactly. Even something as simple as, like, you could try a new recipe. Go for a walk. Okay. You could read a book.
Speaking of recipes, so when I kind of think about being well, I always ask people, like, what are the ingredients for you to be well?
Yeah, I use that all the time.
Ingredients. I love ingredients because I'm like, because it takes a lot to be well.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Being well is time consuming.
It is.
But in being well, we always ask, like, when was the last time you felt well? Because you already have a bit of the recipe.
Okay.
You can probably recall a time, whether, I don't care if it was in childhood, I don't care if it was 10 years ago, what have been the things, even if they're sparingly throughout your life, that have mm-hmm. made you feel well?
Alive.
I love that.
Those are a part of your recipe. Like, you've already mm-hmm. started. You had to have, because you're still here.
Okay.
You're still trying.
So when we say be well, we're talking about caring for oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the relationship with yourself is literally the most important one, no matter what anybody tell you, whether you're a mom or dad, you know, those relationships matter 100%.
Absolutely.
But the relationship with yourself is the one you will never, ever get off the hook with.
No.
At all.
No.
And loving yourself well positions you to love and care for your partner, your children, your mm-hmm. community.
Yes.
Yes.
In the best way possible.
Yes.
Okay. You're getting into love and community. I love that for you. That's your favorite topic. It is a great topic. But in the realm of community, mm-hmm. how do we continue to push this mental health conversation forward when so many people are out there talking about mental health who aren't qualified to talk about it?
Be aware of who you're following. Make mm-hmm. sure that you are following and consuming content from sources that are reliable, credible, ethical, and responsible with their care. Mm. Yeah. That's the thing that we see so much on social media about people talking about their life and their story. Ooh, if it's always point. Constantly centered on them, I would question it because...
That's a great point.
T, that's good.
That's a great point. And the reason why that's a great point is because just because something works for them does not mean it works for somebody else. And that's the difference between a peer and a licensed mental health professional.
Absolutely. Because a licensed mental health professional is going to say, this has worked for somebody. This has worked for somebody. We have to figure out what works for you. Because none of us know until you try. Yes. But that's the responsibility in it.
Yeah.
Yes. And also... when you put a microphone to your face and a camera to your face and you sit down and you put information out there, that is a big responsibility. Mm-hmm. And we have to be very careful with what we consume when it comes to mental health. I have actually seen some horrible people talking about like horrible things in regards to mental health. It's just like, this is actually inaccurate.
Yeah.
100%. Or people saying I'm low-key a therapist.
No, babes, you're not.
It's not how that works.
Nope, it's not how that works.
But in all actuality, I think people think that when you go receive mental health care, that it really mostly is advice giving.
Yeah, they think it's easy, right? Like, we're clinicians. We have a license. We are bounded by law and ethics.
And skills.
Practice and skills, expertise, all of that to... create a space for somebody to be as vulnerable as they want mm-hmm. to be. Now, we're not saying that you can't cultivate close and vulnerable relationships with your peers. That can be beneficial.
Okay.
However, sometimes we just need one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I would say your healing shouldn't take space in a sphere that is solely based off of a different individual's lived experiences.
Absolutely.
And also... I have been encouraging different people that I speak to. I actually talk to a lot of people about mental health. They probably get tired of me because I challenge them on their posts that they make on social media because it literally contributes to stigma. But I also don't want them to feel ashamed, but I also just want to have a conversation because I actually care about people and I care about the facts as it relates to mental health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I actually share with people, like, I think we all have a responsibility to contribute to people knowing that it's okay to go talk to somebody.
Absolutely.
And also just saying, mm-hmm. if this is your responsibility, you what that looked like for you is saying, hey, you really deserve to go talk to somebody and you deserve that space. And also it's okay to say, I don't know enough about this to even give you any type of information about it.
Right.
That is ethical and loving community care.
Yeah.
That's what that looks like.
Yeah.
Is to say... hey, you're right. That sounds like a lie. You deserve the space to fully be heard in that and fully.
Yeah. But you know what? People have a visceral reaction to the word deserving. Mm. All the time.
Hmm.
Because I don't think they know that. I don't think they know or connect with what deserving is.
I can agree with that because I feel like that is even probably a part of when we were having the conversation, when we were just talking earlier about stigma and being deserving of help in general, in general.
Yeah,
it's like we don't imagine better.
Right.
Because we sometimes don't think that we deserve better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like one of those hope is all lost.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or this is how it's supposed to be. This is how everybody else, almost a survival's guilt because maybe I do have access to it now and I'm not supposed, like this is how everybody else around me feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do I get to be the one that gets to feel or be any different?
Yeah. And I mean, not for nothing, it might seem like an intimidating practice, right? If it's not been something that you've not done before, but it just takes that one good therapist.
Well, caring for yourself is a radical act. Mm-hmm. I think Audre Lorde said something like that. If we could speak a little bit about mental health as it shows up differently in people in regards to like race. So obviously black, white, brown, we all have a mental health, but mental distress shows up differently in black and brown people than it may for white people.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys experienced people coming into the therapy space with racial distress?
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're looking for a therapist that looks like them. That way they have the freedom to talk as raw as they want to about racial distress or racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. And you can't cope your way out of that. Mm-hmm. You literally can't. I can't tell you, oh, no, it's you know, go. No, like it doesn't mm-hmm. work because we're exposed to it every single day. Right. And so a part of finding ways to ease in that is one, finding your level of advocacy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not advocacy. Is that the right word? Mm-hmm.
It depends on if the advocacy is what they need, but I would like to challenge you on that. You said you can't cope your way through that. I think you can cope with that.
Well, I mean, as far as like it doesn't erase.
You what can is cope, true. But we tell them you can't CBT. I tell them all the time, I can't CBT your way out. I can't change. CBT is changing like your thoughts or your feelings about this.
Right. Yeah.
Or,
now that part rational, I do.
Like, nah, you get to be scared. Like this is facts. Really real. It's really happening.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Black people, obviously, the pandemic 2020, there was a lot of racial heavy things we were seeing on mm-hmm. social media that people may not recognize, but that was like secondary trauma. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at your phone and you're seeing people who look like you being murdered.
That was my research topic.
That was your research topic. That I think people were feeling helpless. And also the fear that you may have felt or the helplessness that also plays a role in whether you have a balanced or imbalanced mental health.
Let's talk about what that looks like in daily life. Like, how did y'all notice that stress come up in you so that maybe...
Because
sometimes we see it and we know we feel heavy mm-hmm. and we go and we know we might be a little stressed, but they don't know what to pinpoint or what point is too much. Like, we don't recognize it. So what are some of the ways it might look?
Well, first, I want to speak to how that is that's something that impacts one's mental health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So for me, it was taking inventory of how I felt and how I showed up was 100% rage. If I go back and look at any videos from 2020, rage. Mm. There was so much rage. I was angry. I did not want to be around any white people. I was struggling. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I mean, we had to take a break from school. You know, mm-hmm. that's how heavy it got. Mm-hmm. I feel for me.
Yeah.
I was very upset, very angry.
Yeah. For me, it was like the walls were closing in on me because not only am I dealing with my own feelings about what's happening, I'm also curating spaces for people to talk about the same thing that I am also trying to work through myself.
That's a whole nother.
Right.
Yes.
And so that is, I don't know if this is the right disclaimer to add, but that is the beautiful part about being a therapist. Like. That's the skilled part, the beautifully skilled part about being a therapist. And on the kind of going back to the topic of stigma, I think when people ask, do you as a therapist go to see a therapist? Mm-hmm. I think it's two parts. I think people already have skepticism already.
They do.
So they want to verify, I don't need to go anyway because you don't go, right? But those are people that aren't ready. But
they use it both ways.
Right.
To justify whatever.
Correct.
They do use it both ways in saying, go see a therapist who see a therapist for themselves. Then they go viral on social media.
Right. They're like, why would I go see her if she got to go see her own therapist? The like whatever reason. Way they can justify not going.
Right.
But also, just to speak to that, the same way an OB... we have to go to another OB to deliver a baby.
Hello.
The dentist got to go to another dentist to get their teeth.
Hello.
Like, it's the same way. Now, back to what you were saying.
Yeah, I would say the other part is, I think, from the clients that I've seen for a while, I think they genuinely be wondering, like, you good?
speaking of that, we are in a space to where people are being somewhat empathetic. Yeah. So, I have had clients, you know... I think
that's because we're in private practice now. We get to pick our own clients.
Inquire about, okay, I am putting a lot on you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, but I'm a professional space holder. Mm-hmm. I know how to hold this space, show up for you, guide you, using skills and interventions to get you to a place of stabilization. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them I appreciate your concern about me because I am mm-hmm. human. One thing to know about therapists is therapists are human.
Yes.
We are human.
Yes.
And we do go through things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that I can't show up for you as your therapist.
Right.
And I'm going to keep coming back to the dentist because dentists get toothaches. Okay.
I was saying that's the difference. And that's the difference between skilled therapists and your friends. Like, yes, worry about that with your friends because that shouldn't be a space to where mm-hmm. you are only venting or they're only helping because then you lose sight of the beautiful parts of this friendship or this partnership when it becomes a solely helping relationship.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the skills to turn off from that and right. be anything but a helper to you.
Exactly.
If that's all you come to them with.
Yes.
We do.
Right.
We can still go back to our lives and be partners and be friends and things like that. That's a part of the skill. That's a part of the training.
Absolutely. Okay. And to keep it a buck, friends often give you advice based off of how they would do it.
Of course.
I don't think, I'll just leave it there.
Okay. So, okay, I'm going to switch topics for a minute
okay.
in regards to mental health. Can we speak to Black people in general, specifically about the importance of rest? The sleep when I die mentality is killing your mental health.
Yeah, it's killing us in general.
The people who think that they don't need to go to sleep. Mm. That grind culture, although grinding is important, but being busy and being productive are two different things.
Yeah.
People out here being busy. They not being productive.
Even if you were constantly productive 24/7, why?
I don't think productive and busy are the same thing, though.
They're not the same thing, but I'm saying they're still, even if it was always productive, you still don't have to always do that. You don't have to always be productive. Mm-hmm. What is it about you or the meaning that you're placing on being productive that makes it so valuable that you do this 24/7? Or this is all you value.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I was going to say, I think it's just, it's avoidance. It's one, not knowing that you have the choice.
Okay.
To do things differently. And it's avoidance.
Some people don't have the choice. So, for example, a single mother or a single father who feel like they can't prioritize rest because they don't have the option to prioritize rest. Those things impact mental health for 100%. Mm-hmm. How do you talk to people who come in presenting with those type of issues when they're saying, okay, I am struggling. I'm doing this all by myself and I'm not getting no sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm coming or going.
Yeah.
What are some things that, what kind of tips do we give those people on how to balance their mental health?
Yeah. I start on like the smallest of the smallest scales. How often are you drinking water?
Okay.
Can we just
That's my favorite thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's drinking, if you've been drinking one or zero, how about we try to do at least four?
Okay, that's
or at least
fair.
Two,
hydration
at least
is important.
Like the smallest of the smallest skills, right? Because truly, it would feel like it's going to be another task because you got about 500 to your
mm-hmm.
left.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to, because I tell clients all the time, the point of this process is to not, it's not meant to be stressful. It's going to be hard.
What's not meant to be stressful?
Like coping skills.
Self-care? Right?
Self-care. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be stressful. But the hope is that we can alleviate a little bit of stress or start on a smaller scale mm-hmm. to have you had water today? Have you taken a lunch break today?
Mm.
Maybe go get up from your computer, walk down the hallway, and then come back. If we could start on the smallest of smallest scales,
okay.
then we doing something.
Okay. So
I feel the same. I actually also tell people to start actually making rest a part of their priority. So I always break it down mm-hmm. in like a pie form. If we got all these pieces of pie, you have to make rest as a part of that piece.
Yeah. Yes, I was
because
just
it helps
about that
you
wellness wheel. That's what it, you're speaking to.
Yeah, it helps you be able to do all those other things. If you don't tend to this part of your productivity,
mm-hmm.
you're going to start lacking in all these other areas. So how can you
okay.
make this the rest a part of your productivity?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and then to piggyback off what Britt said,
piggyback.
Start with the things that are like small, and there are probably some things that you're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just encourage like mindfulness during those times. Like if you do take a shower or when you are eating, even if it's only 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, how can you're not sitting with it and acknowledging that it's rest. So
okay.
it's not going to feel restful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
okay.
while you're cooking or while you're taking a bath, try to be mindful in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how you feel.
Okay.
Turn some relaxing music on.
Mm-hmm.
Make it restful.
Okay. Yeah, I love that.
Okay. So
what about you?
We were speaking specifically about single parents.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I work with single parents, I think one of the most effective things that I encourage is to be transparent with your children. And by doing that, you humanize yourself. Anytime that you take on all of these responsibilities and you try to be superwoman or superman to your children, I think you're dehumanizing yourself. You're not honoring yourself. And you will have a break at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying put a burden on your children. I'm saying sit down, have a conversation around the dinner table and say, hey, we're a team. I'm going to need you to have a task. you to have a task, I'm going to have a task, because I use sports. I'm always using sports with my clients. It's my thing. In order to win championships, we're going to have to play like a team, and we're down a man because I'm a single parent. Yep. And since we're down a man, I need some help from you. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that the child has to go get a job. That means, hey, maybe you'll wash dishes. Maybe you'll be okay with eating the same thing for the first 3 days of the week. And maybe, you know, you can ask your friends. Maybe we can talk to your friend's mom if you can ride the practice with them, mm-hmm. because I got two jobs. Mm-hmm. So sitting down, making the children a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times these parents want to protect their children, rightfully so, from the burden of feeling like they need to grow up too fast, when the reality is, this is a unique situation.
Mm-hmm. And even to build on that, okay. One, I think it's important that we specifically talk about this being super important for Black mothers.
Okay.
Especially single Black mothers, because this comes up a lot.
Okay.
Just because also this is how society views Black women, mm-hmm. as being the superwoman. And
ooh, we get into a different topic.
And you... I mean,
I said single parents.
That's her research topic, y'all.
That is your research topic.
But no, so the society already sees Black women as mm-hmm. unbreakable and can do all of the things. So it doesn't help that we build more little humans who are going to perpetuate that same system.
And the reason why we have, and that's why I encourage the women that I see to sit down and be transparent with your children. Absolutely. Because you are showing your son and your daughter that you are a superwoman. Mm-hmm. So the moment you fall short, they are pissed off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you have been extreme in how you care for them, as you should, but not to the point that it costs you your sanity.
Right.
No, because
it's unhealthy.
It's unhealthy for y'all in that small environment, but even in the grand scheme of things, because now their future partners or Black women that they see at work, they are going to have those same expectations because they have this one vision of what this is supposed to look like, mm-hmm. versus seeing everybody in their life, adult, mm-hmm. big, small, as human.
Mm-hmm. I've also seen this show up in Black dads. I have to say, I've also seen this show up in Black dads. Mm-hmm. I've seen this show up in Black dads as well. They feel guilty when they can't show up for their children, when they're taking care of them by themselves in the extreme. And I always say the same thing to both genders. Mm-hmm. You have to sit down and make the children a part of the conversation. Culturally, we think that children should be a part of certain conversations, and that has somewhat been our downfall, I think, because children should be aware of conversation, should be privy to certain topics, mm-hmm. because you're raising them to be adults.
Right.
They will be adults much longer than they are children.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's how...
Of course.
How to have the conversation with kids and being selective about... Important. Right. Which is what you're saying, right? Like, being selective, because... kids care about their parents, right? Like if
they do.
If the relationship is healthy, right? Kids care about their parents.
They care even if it's not healthy.
Right. True. And which, that part. And I think true to a kid's nature, right? They want to take care of mommy. They want to take care of daddy. So like, it is a matter of like being careful with how you communicate. If you know your kid, right? Like if you know, like, okay. All right.
I was about to say, but if they're that kind of kid, they're probably going to see it anyways.
Yeah.
So it's going to be still more important. Vulnerability, transparency, mm-hmm. so that you can teach them, hey, this is how you problem solve. Like, I appreciate you wanting to care for me in this
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
Also asking for help.
Yeah.
We get to care for each other.
Exactly.
But also, it teaches your children that it's okay to, one, ask for help.
Exactly.
Two, it's okay to be honest about how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of, and I
and
think
building
that's,
trust and knowing that mm-hmm. it's safe to do that.
It is safe mm-hmm. to do that. And also, I always encourage, some of the interventions I use is having the single dads and mom that I see, you thank your children for their patience.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. thank them. That's how I get them to address the guilt that they feel because they are doing it by themselves. Just tell the kids that you appreciate it. I appreciate you being patient with me. I appreciate you, you know, being okay with me not being able to come to your game. Mm-hmm.
And saying sorry when you've made a mistake, mom and dad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That I think that empowers Black children to grow up and be well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, and be seen and... We kind of be trying to play kids a little bit, like they ain't smart. Like they
they're very smart.
Yeah. They're so smart. They see it. They see you struggling.
But that's because we're uncomfortable with talking to children about heavy topics.
Mm-hmm. But they see it anyways.
A fact.
So do you want them to make their own meaning around it with their 5, 6, 10-year-old brain? Or do you want to nurture what love, transparency, healing together, helping one another looks like? Mm. Because they're not going to get there on their own.
Right. And that goes back to the topic of changing generational
patterns. And habits so that we can be well.
Right.
If we could speak to a little bit about balance in regards to what make up our mental health. That is our emotional self, our professional self, our spiritual self, our hobbies, we already said occupational. What is the other one? Finances. Mm-hmm. Like, just think of all of the these different caveats of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then just thinking about the energy you're giving to these different areas of your life. Mm-hmm. Now, most of us, Lord, I thought I turned this off. Okay. Now, most of us are only giving energy, like the most energy to the occupational piece of ourselves. Mm-hmm. When you are giving the most energy to the occupational piece of yourself, you're neglecting something. Mm-hmm. And when you are neglecting something, your mental health will be off. Mm-hmm. So I think the most, how do you teach people to be well or educate people about their mental health is one, them categorizing the different pieces of themselves. This is your day-to-day. This is how mental health shows up in your day-to-day. Mm-hmm. What are you tending to? What are you nurturing?
Right.
The physical health, that's obviously your rest, mm-hmm. your food, your water, your mental health, is your mindset. Mm-hmm. And something that I had a conversation with someone on social media, and they were feeling bad because they said, I'm just not in the positive mood today. And I'm like, that doesn't mean that you're not having a healthy mental health. A balanced mental health is recognizing that I won't always be positive. That's right. A balanced mental health.
Right.
That is very important, because in this culture of toxic positivity, people think that if they're not positive, then their mental health is damaging right now. No.
Right.
That's you being aware that, hey, I'm not okay.
Right. Which is, I've had to learn myself to not categorize, with clients in particular, categorizing everything as positive or negative.
I do not.
Because it's too mm-hmm. black and white.
I do not.
And sometimes I'm like, the emotion is just the emotion. Let's reflect on it. Let's see, do we have to reframe it? Do we have to shift the perspective for a little bit? But step one is acknowledging. Mm-hmm. I'm mad. I'm upset. Okay. I'm happy.
Okay.
Whatever the emotion is, it's not a bad thing. I actually just had a conversation with a client recently. People feel like they're taking steps, especially when they've done the work, right? They feel like they're taking steps back when they feel sad on this particular day.
Like, and it's not working anymore.
Yeah. And I try to say, well, emotions are like a river. It ebbs and flows. Different Absolutely. Days okay. look different. Motivations are different on each day. You don't have to be this perfect being.
But a healthy mindset is recognizing the different emotions that you feel. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel positive, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Now, positivity is great, but it's not you won't feel it every day.
No.
And so I think we are uncomfortable with feeling depressed or sad. And I'm saying depressed as a mood, not as a diagnosis. Are you feeling hopeless? Or are you just feeling like, mm-hmm. eh, you might not know how you feel. You can feel indifferent.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What do you need though?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of therapy, I think, right? Like when you have that's that safe space to, yeah, when you have that safe space and I'm the person sitting in front of you and I say, you know, it's okay, right? Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Relax them shoulders. It's okay. Now, what can we do with what we know? Mm-hmm. Okay. How can we either think about things differently or it's simply just okay.
Okay.
Because tell me what happened in your day. And you done told me everything. I see why you upset right now.
Okay.
I get it.
So that's a great segue to bring up therapy and mental health. That's mm-hmm. the next session we're going to talk about. But as we wrap up this session, what would you leave people with tips or what you want them to know about mental health as you wrap up this session? Mm.
You want to go first?
For me, throughout this whole session, what keeps coming up for me is one, just awareness and acknowledging that you have a mental health mm-hmm. or mental wellness, because all of these things that we're talking about, interventions or even recognizing these things as tools or identifying what your need is and what to do with it, mm-hmm. you can't get to any of those things if you don't find ways to sit down and check with yourself to see how you are feeling. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to tend to it. You're not going to know what to do with it. So mm-hmm. find a way, find a habit, find a routine. I don't care if it's in your notes on your phone. I don't care if you're writing it down. I don't care if it's on your way to work. But just pause. Mm-hmm. How am I feeling today? Mm-hmm. Has something been on my mind a lot? How does my body feel? Mm-hmm. And just take inventory, even if you don't do nothing else yet.
Okay.
Take inventory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think for me, I would say to a, you know, you should have a goal to have a healthy mindset instead of a positive mindset. Mm-hmm. For me, a healthy mindset, as I'm going to echo up what I already said, a healthy mindset is being aware that, hey, I am not happy. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that my mental health is about to just fall apart. Mm-hmm. It means, okay, I need to do something different. Mm-hmm. That's a healthy mindset to me versus saying I'm not positive, so I'm not going to show up. I'm going to isolate. I'm going to do all these things because maybe you feel ashamed that you're not in the positive mood, and I get it because maybe you don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but as you said, the emotion is the emotion, mm-hmm. and emotions got somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you got to take the time and sit with them so that they can be released.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But that comes along with coping, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
But yes, Try to have a healthy mindset versus a positive mindset. Nothing wrong with a positive mindset. I don't want people to get this misconstrued. A positive mindset is great. Mm-hmm. But when the positive mindset leads to you ignoring your other emotions because you want to caveat that as mental toughness, then it becomes problematic.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. It's not a thing, and when we say it's not sustainable, that means at some point you will collapse.
Life gonna hit you because life be lifing. It's gonna get you one way or another. So
yeah.
What about you, Britt?
Let's see. I try to use like highways. I don't know, because it's fun. So like, let's say you are on road A. Road A is very familiar.
Okay.
Road B, maybe you want something different.
Okay.
Right? So like, maybe see how your journey has been and maybe decide, do I want to switch some things up a little bit? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we do, right? They don't have to be on super large scales, you know?
Okay.
So I don't want to piggyback. I don't want to have to, you know, repeat what y'all were saying, because I agree with both sides. It's sometimes we just got to decide that we want to live a little bit differently.
Live a little bit differently. And so we hope this session kind of provides you with some guidance on checking in with yourself and your mental health. And what do you need? Take an inventory of what you need.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, y'all.
All right. Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Hey, guys. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Sistas in Therapy. That is Sistas in Therapy. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you listen to our show on. And give us a review. And as always, go love yourself.